Brothers and sisters, I'm going to get started now. We give you the prayer. By the time we finish with the prayer, everybody who's going to get on should be on. I just want to welcome you today to another meeting of a few of the faithful who's trying to get together to please the Lord. We just have a short prayer here. Our Father in heaven, once again, we come to you, knowing that you've always given us permission to come to you when we're in need. We come to you because we've come to you in the past, and you've always helped us. You've always been there for us. We just want to thank you for being such a blessing to us. With all the sickness and all the virus going around, you're still keeping us. We just pray that most of our, if not all, our friends and fellowship will be taking care of themselves, staying in and doing those things that you would have them to do. These blessings we ask in your name, now and forevermore. Amen. Now today, we are looking at John, the 11th chapter. We've been in John for a little while now, but this chapter is the seventh of the miracles John recorded. Here we see salvation pictured as resurrection from the dead, the giving of life to the dead. John has this to say about life. He used the word 36 times. And want to change a little bit here because a lot of people see this as a chapter of death. But I'm seeing this as a chapter of life. Anytime we talk about life in a chapter 36 times, that must be the thing that we should be interested in. Here, as we look and we say, we start out with number one, he was dead. Now, we know we got a lot of reading to do in this chapter. So the first thing we're going to look at is verse 14. All right, 14. And verse 14, he said, then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go. Now, this is after Lazarus' sisters had contacted the Lord and let him know that Lazarus had passed. They were concerned because they know that Lazarus knew the Lord. They were concerned also that Jesus would come to see them because the sister is the one who had washed his feet and dried up his feet with her hair. So Jesus has been in the process of going to see Lazarus, although he's dead. Now, one thing we want to mention here, as Jesus was talking to his disciples about Lazarus being dead, then many of them, of course, thought about the final death. But Jesus was talking about him going there and raising him up from the dead. Now, but many of his disciples, if not all of them, really was not sure as to how he was going to handle this. And then we had this one guy, one of the disciples, that I'm sure all of you all would remember. His name was Thomas. And what do we know about Thomas? What do we call him? We call him Doubting Thomas because he just, although the Lord had given him his word, he still doubted that they would that the Lord would be able to raise Lazarus from the dead. In fact, Thomas said, let us also go, that we may die with him. He's already pronounced the guy dead forever because after Jesus had told him what he was going to do. But nevertheless, let's start off now from there that he was dead. The unsaved person is not just sick. He or she is spiritually dead. You see that in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. When a person is physically dead, he does not respond to such things as food, temperature, pain. When a person is spiritually dead, he does not respond to spiritual things. He has no interest in God, the Bible, Christians, a church, until the Holy Spirit began to work. Now, many of us probably can remember, not all of us, I know some of you all probably been saved all your life, you know, pastor likes to say that. Many of us can remember when we were at that state of mind, when we were spiritually dead. But we, at this time, we do not find ourselves spiritually dead, because we're not spiritually dead because we have been touched. The Lord has saved us. We are one of his children. So we are not spiritually dead, because the Holy Spirit begins to work in our heart. Jesus had to warn Adam, if you would remember, that disobedience would bring death, the physical death. The physical death is the separation of the soul from the body. Now, as Christians, we're not even worried about the physical death, because when we came to Christ, when we hooked on to his message, we say that the spiritual death is the thing that we are concerned about, the separation of the soul from God. Revelation in 2014 calls hell the second death. That is the eternal death. When sinners dead to Christ, ways to keep is not education. We do not need education for us being close to Christ and keeping his word. We do not need medicine. We're not talking about morality or religion. What we need is new life in Jesus Christ. Now, how do we get this new life? It's free for the taking, but you got to live like he has told you to live in order to do this. Now, among the things that you have to do, we got to love Jesus Christ. We got to love the Lord. We got to follow his directions. We got to do those things that he has instructed us to do. Now, there is somebody else or some other people you got to love too, not just love the Lord, because it's easy for you to say that you love the Lord, because he's saying that, how can you say that, that you love me and you believe in me when you do not love those people who you see every day next door to you and who you are in touch with all the time? You got to love your neighbor. Now, I want to read you just something quickly. When I was thinking about this, I thought about, and I'm 81 years old, so you know this must have been a long time. I thought about a poem that a teacher gave us when we were, when I was in eighth grade, about loving somebody else, about loving other people. Now, you know, this poem is about Abu Ben Adam. This is the first time I saw it written up since I got on the internet last night and got it. That's the first time I've seen this in all those years. Let me quickly tell you how this goes. Abu Ben Adam, may his tribe increase, awoke one night from a deep dream of peace and saw within the moonlight his room, making it rich and like a lily in bloom, an angel writing in a book of gold. Exceeding peace had made Ben Adam bold, and to the presence in the room he said, "What writest thou?" The vision raised his head, and with a look made of all sweet accord, answered, "The names of those who love the Lord." "And is mine one?" said Abu. "Nay, not so," replied the angel. Abu spoke more low, but cheerily still, and said, "I pray thee, then, write me as one that loves his fellow man." The angel wrote and vanished. The next night, it came again with a great awakening light, and showed the names who love of God had blessed. And lo, Ben Adam's name led all the rest. Because you see, it was important that he reminded the angel and the Lord how he loved his fellow man. So when you're loving your fellow man, you're loving the Lord. We want to move on, and we're looking at verse 39. Now, we're going to be jumping around a little bit. Now, The first thing we said, he was dead. Now, the next thing we said, he was decayed. And as we look in verse 11:39, there are three resurrections recorded in the Gospels, apart from that of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ raised a 12-year-old girl who had been dead in Luke 8:49. A young man who had been dead several hours in Luke 7:11-17. And an older man who had been in the tomb for 4 days, John 11. And that's who we're talking about today. The little girl, little children, you know, are they sinners? They have probably done some things that we might call sin, but the corruption has not set in, and their parents and their guardians are responsible for their sins at that age. The young man, young people are sinners also, whose outward corruption began to show. You're going to be seeing just a little bit of it. The older man, adults have been around so long and long enough for us to definitely see the corruption that's within. The point is, all three were dead. One person cannot be more dead than the other. The only difference lie in the degree of decay. Is this not true of the sinners today? The moral church member is not decayed like the person on Skid Row, but he is still dead. What we're saying here, we got a lot of people in the church today, a lot of Christians who are dead because there is nothing about them that shows that they, in fact, do love Jesus. There's nothing about them that shows every day that they are committed to their word. There's nothing about them that they do to show that they love their fellow man. So remember, excuse me, if you are a child of God, if you are a Christian, you have, there's one thing you know you got to do, you got to love God. But another thing you got to do, you got to love your brother, you got to love your sister. Because if you don't do this, then you are still dead in Christ. You are not carrying out those dictates that he told you about. The next thing we want to talk about, if you look in chapter 11 and 41 through 44, you've seen when this first talk start talking about, we start talking about Lazarus here. The sisters had a lot of friends who were around sympathizing and weeping. But that was fine and made the family feel a little better. But it took Christ to give the man life. And how did Christ give him life? By the power of his word. Now, the word is Christ. If you do not believe the word, then you're not going to be in Christ. The word is the thing that separates us from those sinners. We must believe the word. This is the way he raised all three people mentioned. Why did Christ raise Lazarus from the dead? Guess what? You might say there's a lot of reasons, but it's a very simple reason. He raised Lazarus from the dead because he loved him. Yes, he loved them. And he loves you and me. He loves all of us. That's why we can also be raised from our dead state before it gets too late. Because let's face it, what have we really done for Christ if we do not believe him? What have we really done for Christ if we have not accepted him? What we probably desire, deserve to die and go to hell because of his great, but because of his love, he rescued us. Once again, because of his love, he rescued us. but not because anything that you've done to deserve his love, but his love does not anything with what you deserve and what you don't deserve. He loves you. He did what he did for you because he loved you. Now, by the same token, you know, you have something to do with this too. Now, you are not exempt from loving other folk, because if you love God and he loves you, you're going to love your brothers and sisters because you realize, except for his love that he really didn't owe to you, that you would not be rescued from eternal hell. Keep in mind that salvation is not a set of rules like the Jews had. Whether you went to so many bar mitzvah, whether you went to so many temples, whether you participated in so many festivals, on and on. That is not it. That life that you're looking for is a person called Jesus Christ. When dead sinners hear the voice of God, which is the word, and believe, they are given eternal life. That's in John 5:25. To reject the word is to be damned forever. So if you ever say that I just do not believe the word, I cannot get it, then believe me, you have a long, long stay in eternity in hell's fire. Okay? As we go on, we want to remember Lazarus had been in the tomb, 4 days, I think. He was all wrapped up in all his, in the winding sheet and all his bed and all his grave clothes. And like I said, he had been put in a tomb, and they had put a big boulder in front of the opening of the tomb. He was bound hand and foot. But the believer can never be bound by grave clothes of the old life, but should walk in freedom in the new life. Now, you've got to read carefully in Colossians 3:1-17. It tells you to learn how the Christian is to put off the grave clothes and put on the grace clothes of the new life. It is a new testimony to carry with him the things. It is a new life that he does not carry with him the things of the old life. It would be a poor, poor testimony if all you got after you've been saved is the same old love, the same old behavior, the same old song, the same old speech. No, you got that new thing in God. Because if you read once again in Colossians 3:1-17, there is a whole list of things there. You know, like you might like seek those things above where Christ is sitting. You got to forget about all of that fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil, desires. Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, on and on. Those things you got to do because God gave you that new life. And what is the price? That's a price. It might be said, well, it's not a price. It don't cost. It does cost you something. You got to change your ways. You got to change your behavior. Okay. Now, one thing we want to talk about is he witnessed to others. This is probably one of the more important things you have to do once you say that you receive the Lord and that you're a child of the Lord. Lazarus, one of the first things that he did was he caused a stir in the area because people saw him and he believed in Christ. Guess what? We talk about miracles. He was a walking miracle, just as every Christian ought to be. And if you look in Romans 6:4, There's nothing that Lazarus did. I know he was raised from the dead, but there was nothing that Lazarus did that you are not required to do or that you should do as a child of God and a Christian. As I know we sing that song all the time, you should be a living testimony as to what God is doing for you. All Christians are required to be that living testimony. Every Christian ought to be spreading the word. Every Christian, the Bible is saying, once you've been saved, to go ye into all the world. Now, if you've just been saved and don't go ye, then you've not done what you're supposed to. Because we always say that we are not saved for ourselves. We are saved, God saved us so he could use us as spokespersons to go out in the world and help save others. That's what we have been saved for. Now, but Lazarus, I'm sure that God knew also that everybody would not be all happy with Lazarus going around spreading the message. But that was okay because Lazarus had the love of God with him. But what they were going to do, not only were they after Lazarus at that time, they were also after Jesus Christ, if you remember. But Lazarus always did those things that he thought Christ wanted him to do. He showed appreciation. Now, I just want to mention appreciation because some of us sometimes have a tendency not to show a much appreciation for what people do for us or what God has done for us. You would think that you did it all on your own. You say, I did this by myself. I did this because I was able to do it. I did this because I had the ability to do it. No, you did this because God was with you and he gave you that ability. He gave you that that blessing. So always remember that once you become saved, that you are to share your blessings, share your goodness with your brothers and sisters. Remember that always. Now, as we go a little further, I know we got chapter 12 coming up, and I don't want to take anything from the brother who's going to do chapter 12, but this kind of blends over into what I'm talking about. And one other thing was he fellowshiped with Christ. Lazarus took a lot of time. He was sitting at the table with Christ, feasting with him. He was always there when Christ needed him. He was always trying to get close to him in order to hear what Christ was saying, in order to get that kind of information he needed in order to share with his brothers and sisters. The miracle of salvation gives us eternal life, but we must fellowship with Christ daily to be able to grow in the spiritual life. Once we get saved, we just can't stay in the house or stay wherever you stay. You cannot just close the Bible, don't open it up, don't go to church, don't do anything and say, I'm saved. You've got to fellowship with Christ. And that means you got to fellowship with your brothers and sisters because they are who have been saved, because they are disciples of Christ. You know, it's interesting that the entire family at Bethany demonstrate what the Christian life is like. Mary, always found at Christ's feet, listening to his word. That was in Luke 10:38. Martha is a picture of service. She is found blissfully doing something for Christ. And we have many people around the church who is that Mary character, who also can be found. Then we have many people around the church you can't ever find doing anything for Christ, okay? Lazarus speaks of testimony, a daily walk that leads others to Christ. That is, if those lost sinners cannot look at your daily walk and see what it is to be a child of God, then there's something wrong with your daily walk. Maybe you need to put a little more pep in that step. Maybe you need to put a little more God in that walk. But that walk, your daily walk, should be the same kind of walk that Lazarus had. You say, well, Jesus is not here. I can't sit at the table with him. Yes, you can. You can always go to the table with him. All you got to do is call him in prayer. You can read your Bible, call him in prayer, and you can fellowship with him. These three practices can be found in Christian experience. Worship, Mary. Work, Martha. Walk, Lazarus. Worship, walk, and work. And the last thing that happened with Lazarus, he was persecuted. The Jews hated Lazarus because he convinced others of Christ's deity. Now, many people are going to hate you because you are going to be talking favorably and strongly and living the way Christ wants you to live. But don't worry about that, because as long as you do what Christ told you to do, as long as you do what you say you're going to do as have one who has accepted the Lord and Savior, then you have nothing. You have nothing to worry about. You're going to be, everybody not going to like you. The old folks ain't going to call you everything but a child of God, but that's all right. If he's calling you everything but a child of God, then you got to show him that you are a child of God, and you, because you call yourself a child of God. So we are not going to worry about that, what that other side say, but what we are going to worry about is making sure that we are living the life that God say we need to live in order to influence those people who need to come to him. We say today that if, in fact, you read the Bible, you read the instructions, there should never be any question about what is required of you. No matter what, once you get up from the dead, that is, once you leave that other life, once you do what you're supposed to do, get those other those dead clothes off of you, and get that dead mindset out of your head, then at that time, you should, and the Lord bless you, and the Lord save you, then at that time, it's time for you right then to start doing that mission that the Lord has placed on all of us who've been saved. Now, I realized that we went fast. We tried to cover most of it, but obviously we couldn't cover all the reading. And what I want you all to do is go back tonight, if you haven't done so already, and read chapter 11. And I want you to put yourself in Lazarus' place and see those things that the Lord has dealt him to do. Let's see if you are doing those things. These blessings we are grateful for tonight, and I hope we got everybody online in time. I thank you all. Lord, we thank you once again for enabling us to meet here in your name. We know that things are not the same with the virus going around, but we know you are the same. We know we can count on you. We know that you're still blessing us. We know that we do not need a building to be blessed in. That as long as we do those things that you told us to do, we'll be all right. But once again, we are looking to the time when we'll be able to go back safely in our building and be with our sisters and brothers. These blessings we ask now in your name. Amen. Okay, brothers and sisters, that's what I have tonight. Anybody there? Hello?